Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Good afternoon. And, still trying to get used to this Saturday showtime, Derek. Throwing me off my my base a little bit here. We do have some phone calls coming in today, and hopefully Congressman Tim Walberg is calling in. But let's take care of a little business. My sponsor this half hour is The Daily Drift, www.thedailydrift.com. That's the website that we go over every week on this show, and I bring you the links to all the news you need to know. I go through the internet looking for the news you're not going to get on channels 2, 4, 7, the big networks, not even on Fox News. And it's stuff you need to know that really the mainstream media is hiding from you. So check out The Daily Drift. If you want to advertise on The Daily Drift, give me a call, 734-629-6010, or email me, gary@thedailydrift.com. And you can email in your comments on the show if you don't feel like calling in. 734-822-1600 is the number. Love to have your calls. We're going to talk a little bit about sequestration today. We're going to talk about what it means to you personally. Are you worried, Derek, about the sequestration? Do you think it's going to affect you at all? You do? What do you think it's going to do?
Well, it's going to probably raise gas prices of gas and food as well.
Well, I think gas and food is going up already.
Yeah, yeah. But it'll make it worse, probably.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt. I think that it's not going to be as bad as everybody thinks. I mean, because let's look at the real picture here. We're talking about a budget of $3.8 trillion. That's trillion with a T, dollars. And watching the pundits this week, and it's kind of funny because Barack Obama is trying to scare people into saying, hey, we got to blame the Republicans for it. And we've seen this all week long on the news. And this week he even had Ray LaHood. Now, Ray LaHood was ostensibly a Republican congressman years ago, came on board as transportation secretary for the Obama administration. That was Obama's attempt to reach out to the right, the conservatives, by bringing on super liberal Republican Ray LaHood. Now, Ray was out making the rounds this week, and I want to play a track because I think it's pretty important. Derek, let's go with track one. I want to hear what Ray LaHood had to say.
I think Republicans need to step up here. I served for 14 years. During those 14 years, I was 12 of those years I was in the majority party. Speaker Gingrich was the speaker. He worked with then President Bill Clinton. We balanced the budget 5 of those 14 years. It meant that there was compromise. This requires compromise. This requires Republicans stepping forward with some ideas about how to keep essential services of government running at the level that people have been accustomed to. This is not rocket science. This is people coming together the way that other Congresses have done to solve big issues. We'll see what the reaction of the public is. What I'm trying to do is to wake up members of the Congress on the Republican side to the idea that they need to come to the table, offer a proposal, so that we don't have to have this kind of calamity in air service in America.
Okay, so there was a couple of things in that track that bothered me. The first one was to maintain the level of spending that people have become accustomed to. Now, call me average Joe, but what spending do I require from the government? I do not receive any benefits from the government other than the military that is protecting the shores of this great nation. And I have no problem spending whatever it takes to keep our men and women in uniform safe, satisfied, and protecting us. But I don't get a check from the government. I'm too young to get Social Security, and even by the time I get to Social Security, I probably there won't be anything, at least unless they decide to fix it. It makes no sense that we have to worry about what people want to get used to or accustomed to. We got Joe from West Brighton on the line. Joe, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on, Gary. Appreciate it. Got a comment for you about the sequestration.
Go.
I'm looking forward to it. I think in the private sector, we went through sequestration in 2007, 8, 9, 10. It really forced our private sector companies, those that were running fat, to really tighten their belts. And I think it's a good thing that we're going to see our government forced to do the same thing.
Yeah, well, I'll agree with you. You know, my sequestration actually started in 2000, in the year 2000, because you know what? I knew George Bush was coming in. The dot-com bubble was bursting. That was all a bunch of nonsense of people investing in inflated. I mean, there was no way Amazon stock and Google stock was worth that. They didn't have any assets, and yet people were paying hundreds of dollars a share for something that really didn't exist. And I knew it was going to break. So I figured 4 years, first 4 years of Bush would be bad. Well, here it is, 2013. And you want to talk about a plan gone wrong, for me anyways. My sequestration happened a long time ago. So I'm kind of like you in a sick sort of way. I'm seeing what you're feeling there because I think I'm beginning to feel the same way.
And I'm totally prepared for, you know, some prices are going to go up or some lines are going to get longer at the airport. And I'm prepared for plenty of things to be blamed. Sequestration can be blamed for lots of things, okay? But like you were mentioning earlier, a lot of things were happening anyhow, you know, higher food prices and gasoline and such. So I'm prepared for an onslaught of blame on sequestration, but I really don't believe it will be the cause of all of the problems.
Right. That's exactly right. I think these things are going to happen anyways. And I think somebody, my math could be wrong. I'm trying to pull up a calculator big enough to do federal debt and deficits. But I thought I heard one of the pundits say $85 billion out of $3.8 trillion is only 1.5%. If someone's got a big calculator, call me and correct me. But I thought that's what I heard them say. And are you serious? I mean, you can't continue to spend the money that we're spending. And we think $85 billion out of $3.8 trillion is anything other than a drop in the bucket?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I've heard a couple different numbers be used, and the calculation I had done the other night was about 2.4%, I think. And I think the 10-year number that they were talking about was around 2.7%. So as far as I'm concerned, that's just finally some people being fiscally responsible.
Well, that's exactly what the truth is. And this is the trap that Washington has now set us up with. They know they don't want to cut anything worth value to them. So they now say, we're going to save $1 trillion over a 10-year period. That's what Obama's been saying. These sequestration cuts will save $1.2 trillion over the next 10 years. Really? The deficit, projected deficit for this year alone is $1.2 trillion. Why is it that they think they can run these numbers and we're just going to ignore them? I think the average person probably isn't paying attention. But it certainly strikes me that a lousy $85 billion cut is not going to make any difference to our deficit. I mean, they may not have thought about the proper places to make these cuts.
And that's the shame of it, Gary, is that, you know, there's probably certain areas that should have, that probably did have more waste than others. And if everyone had done their jobs, we would probably be doing a little better surgery on the budget. We'd be cutting in the right areas. But because they continue to not do their job, that's why this unilateral across-the-board chop has to occur. And you know what? As long as our Congress continues to not do its job, this is the way we need to operate.
Right. Now, let's before we go into break, let's correct one thing, though. Our Congress, the House of Representatives, have done their job because they have passed budget after budget. They've passed two budgets, I think, that would have ended this sequestration, but the Senate wouldn't even vote on it. They're so gutless that they wouldn't even put it to a vote so that people could see that they were voting no. And that's what's just aggravating to me, that the Senate can walk away scot-free in the media while the Congress, the House of Representatives, have done their job. We're going to go into a break. Joe, you want to hang with us?
He's here. I'm on the freeway, so I got to run.
All right. We'll talk to you, Joe. Thanks.
Thank you.
It's time for This American Voice with Theron, brought to you by Flying Dutchman Management. Now here's Theron.
Right to Work has come to Michigan. Free at last, good God almighty, free at last. Well, not so fast. There are those progressive psychotics that don't care much for freedom. They get their red panties in a bunch when real freedom comes to town. The ACLU, Andy LaBear, and Washtenaw Board of Commissioners, Rebecca Warren, to name a few, hate freedom. They're doing all they can to stand in the way of Right to Work in Michigan via the courts, via grandfathering in of union contracts prior to right-to-work start dates to circumvent the workers of Michigan and their right to choose. Isn't it ironic that right to choose only is supported by progressives when they choose to snuff out the life of an unborn baby? What every freedom-loving American knows, in Michigan or not, is that you should not have to join a union and pay dues as condition of employment. And that is exactly what the progressives want. Kill freedom and keep as a condition of employment dues money laundering for the Democrat Party via unions. Unions didn't build the middle class. Most recently, they've aided and abetted destroying it. Free American workers built the middle class. Make mine freedom, baby.
Ann Arbor's Hogback Office Center off of US 23 and Washtenaw Avenue offers a beautiful rolling 5-acre country atmosphere. Your clients will be more than impressed. The professional office suites at the Hogback Office Center range from 960 to 5,000 square feet. They're very competitively priced, and your clients will appreciate free parking. Call Susan Watrous at 734-971-4000 for more information, or visit FlyingDutchmanMGT.com.
Hello, Wham! Listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of Art, it's about civilization, yours.
This is the ClarkCast with Matt Clark.
The IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, says that the lowest penalty for a family of five for not purchasing health care insurance under the mandate is $20,000 for a family of five if they do not purchase that mandatory health care insurance.
Don't miss the ClarkCast, live Sunday afternoons, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Well, welcome back, and thank you for catching my drift this Saturday afternoon with the new lineup. That is Ed Hoffman coming in after me at 3 o'clock. Great show. Make sure you want to tune in for it. And Dr. Yule is coming in on Sunday at my old time slot, 8 o'clock. So make sure you tune in for both those shows. A lot of great information and entertaining as well. So we were talking about sequestration and how really the Obama administration is out trying to frighten people and blame people for this. The AnnArbor.com and the Free Press had articles out today about how the federal budget cuts could do all kinds of damage to our travel and to our airports. And they're talking about the Ann Arbor airport may actually lose its control tower. Now, I'm assuming they're saying that these automatic budget cuts will close the tower for renovations that are needed or something like that. Well, I guess I'd have to say Why are they waiting so long? Why are they depending on the government to do that? Maybe you need to increase the revenue they're generating abilities there at the airport to fix that tower. Don't wait for the government to come on and give you a handout. But this is all part of the scare tactics that the Democrats and that the Barack Obama administration is using to get you ginned up, to get you to call your legislators and to cower down before them. You don't do that. Don't give in to the blackmail, because that's really what it is. These threats, it's all blackmail. The one thing that you'll hear from Obama quite a bit is that it's not his idea. He wants to blame the Republicans for this. Well, that isn't true, and we're going to prove that to you with some tracks right now. The first is from Senator Max Baucus, who is a Democrat from Montana, who will tell you that the truth is this was the Obama administration's idea. Let's run with track two, Derek.
And Montana Senior Senator Max Baucus took part in the Billings Chamber's Newsmaker Forum and addressed the impending spending, the impending cuts. Baucus says there's plenty of blame to go around.
The president's part of the sequestrum. The White House recommended it, frankly, back in August 2011. And so now we're feeling the effects of it.
Okay, so there you go. I mean, here's the Democratic Party saying and admitting this was the president's idea, and yet at every opportunity on the road, as our campaigner-in-chief continues to spread his propaganda across the country, wants to blame Congress. He wants to blame the Democrats. Well, let's go with the track three, Derek. Let's hear it from the words of our great leader himself.
Unfortunately, Congress didn't compromise. They haven't come together and done their jobs. And so as a consequence, we've got these automatic brutal spending cuts that are poised to happen next Friday. Now, if Congress allows this meat cleaver approach to take place, it will jeopardize our military readiness. It will eviscerate job-creating investments in education and energy and medical research. It won't consider whether we're cutting some bloated program that has outlived its usefulness or a vital service that Americans depend on every single day. It doesn't.
Okay, so there you go. He's blaming Congress. Now, it was his idea to put these sequestration cuts into place. This was Barack Obama, the master manipulator, trying to get something over on the Republicans. He said, you know what, the Republicans love the Defense Department. We're going to cut billions of dollars from defense automatically unless we can get a deal made. And I'm going to put some of my own things on the table that will cut stuff from welfare or whatever. The things that Democrats like. He could have, at that time, made automatic cuts in places that made sense. But why didn't he? Why did he go through this whole game? Because he wants more money. You know, here he is telling the Republicans, you need to compromise. His people are out on the road telling the Republicans, you need to compromise. We did just compromise. We gave you tax increases of $680 billion in tax revenue during this last debt ceiling crisis, another manufactured crisis by Obama and crew. Now, some congressmen didn't stand up and vote yes on it. I applaud those. Some caved in and did. Now, you can argue whether they should have or should not have. They did avert this so-called crisis. But again, they're kicking the can down the road. And you could only kick it for so long. But it's Obama's idea. This is his baby. This is his economy. Let's go with track four, Derek. This is how he tries to spin things into this 10-year time frame, which they do so often.
Those distinctions.
Part of the law that I signed this summer stated that if Congress could not reach an agreement on the deficit, there would be another $1.2 trillion of automatic cuts in 2013, divided equally between domestic spending and defense spending. One way or another, we will be trimming the deficit by a total of at least $2.2 trillion over the next 10 years. That's going to happen, one way or another. We've got $1 trillion locked in, and either Congress comes up with $1.2 trillion, which so far they failed to do, or the sequester kicks in and these automatic spending cuts will occur that bring in an additional $1.2 trillion in deficit reduction.
There you go, $1.2 trillion, but over 10 years. Does anyone have, am I looking at the math wrong? Call me 734-822-1600 here at Wham Talk 1600, because if I'm doing my math wrong, I'd like to know, how really does $1.2 trillion in spending cuts help over a 10-year period when you're spending $1.2 trillion per year more than you take in? Slowing down the proposed growth of the deficit? Is that what we're doing? Because it doesn't seem to make any other sense to me. Now, our hypocrite-in-chief continues in his different speeches and, again, wanting to blame the Republicans and saying that this sequestration must not happen. And yet, where was he last spring? Let's go with track five, Derek.
Already some in Congress are trying to undo these automatic spending cuts. My message to them is simple. No. I will veto any effort to get rid of those automatic spending cuts to domestic and defense spending. There will be no easy off-ramps on this one. My message to them is simple. No. I will veto any effort to get rid of those automatic spending cuts to domestic and defense spending.
You know, I can only think of one word that really identifies the Obama administration's policy. And this probably goes for just about everything, but certainly for his economic policies. It's schizophrenic. This man doesn't know if he's against or for sequestration. He wants to protect it. He wants to veto anything that would stop it. And now he's blaming the Republicans because it's their fault. And yet he wanted to veto it. How we got to this point, well, it doesn't really matter anymore because we are here. We've got to put up with this man for an additional 4 years. Hopefully that's all. We need to allow at this point, and I'm hoping that you as a listener will go to the website, www.thedailydrift.com. You can go to GaryWellings.com if that's easier for you to remember. I have all the list of your congressmen, your senators, your state congressmen, and your state senators. Put their numbers into your speed dial. Call them regularly. Call them office and send them emails. You won't get a chance to talk to them. You never do. But they're people who answer those phones and answer those emails. Let them know what the feeling of the general public is. You have to be active. You have to stay in control by participating in this republic, because that's what it is. It's a republic. But it only works right when we stay involved. Senator Carl Levin, Senator Debbie Stabenow have not passed a budget in going near 4 years. That's the kind of people we should not be reelecting. And yet, Debbie Stabenow walked away with this last election. Now, granted, maybe Pete Hoekstra didn't do a very good job running for state senate or U.S. Senate. I don't think he did. Though we did enjoy his commercials, didn't we, Derek? It takes a lot of activity from us as voters. It takes a lot of activity from us as taxpayers to keep this country on the right track. And if you're not getting involved and making those phone calls and emails, it's nobody's fault but yours, yours and mine. I'm doing my part. I mean, I get up and do this radio show every week, and I work at The Current Online, which is coming out next week. The March edition is already here. So we'll talk a little bit about that next half hour. But you have to do that. You have to be involved. You know, send those emails and messages out. Talk to me. Put a group together. There are people at the station who will come and talk to your gathering anytime, and I'm one of them. So get active. Get those phone numbers in. Go to the www.thedailydrift.com. We'll see you on the other side.
Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham!
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The White House makes a new push with a court filing to overturn the federal ban on gay marriage.
Part of that brief says this law that was passed in 1996, quote, denies to tens of thousands of same-sex couples who are legally married under state law an array of important federal benefits that are available to legally married opposite-sex couples.
Fox's Peter Doocy. Producers of tomorrow night's Oscars, hosted by Seth MacFarlane, are promising a faster-paced show, hoping to pull in big numbers.
Perry Medved with Fandango says that won't be a problem.
People will watch it because they want to see what's going to happen with Life of Pi or Les Miserables or Argo or Django or Lincoln.
The biggest blockbuster of them all, Life of Pi, pulled in more than $564 million.
Fox Radio Sabrina Sabah, the Academy also encouraging celebrities to tweet during the Oscars. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Greetings, my name is Pastor Yule, host of Just Joshua. I'm delighted to announce that Just Joshua will be heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. here on Wham. Come journey with us down Freedom's Highway as we discuss today's happenings from a Black conservative Judeo-Christian perspective. Every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., come journey down Freedom's Highway on Just Joshua.
Experience authentic Mexican cuisine at Taqueria La Fiesta. We serve traditional Mexican food, not Tex-Mex, not Mex-American, and not Mexican-Californian. Our food is great because our authenticity makes a difference. We offer free local delivery and can also cater your events. Stop by and see us.
Taqueria La Fiesta, 4060 Packard Road in Ann Arbor. Give them a call, 734-477-9240. Open Tuesday and Wednesday, 10 to 6, Thursday through Saturday, 10 to 9, Sundays, 10 to 4.
Experience traditional Mexican food and taste a difference at Taqueria La Fiesta.
Join us every Sunday morning for Wham! Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m., it's the Lutheran Hour radio show, followed at 9:30 by the Christian Science Sentinel program. At 10, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ. And finally, from 11 a.m. till noon, it's the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor. Every Sunday morning, Wham! Offers an opportunity for you to worship wherever you are. And please visit whamradio.com and click on any of the church programs to visit their websites and to find out more about their live services.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Good afternoon and welcome back to The Drift. Good to see you in here. Our sponsor this half hour is The Current. Current newspaper, C-O-U-R-A-N-T. You can catch information from The Current and catch it online because we do put it online for free, courantonline.com. If you want to advertise in The Current, we have grown The Current in the last 7 years now seven times, from 5,000 to – or five times, from 7,000 – 5,000 to 35,000 in 2007. So it's been a great, great run with The Current. You can grow your business like you've grown – like we've grown ours. So get hold of Sam Iaquinto, 734-323-0777. And you can go to currentonline.com and get all the information you need there as well. And you can advertise with us online. The March edition will be uploaded and online probably by Tuesday and should be in your mailboxes by, I'd say the end of the week, Thursday, Wednesday. And it's a great little newspaper, lots of common sense editorials and local community stuff. So good newspaper and a good place to get your public image out there. So call Sam Iaquinto, 734-323-0777, or email us. All the information's there at currentonline.com. We were talking about sequester before the break, and a lot of people are worried that it may affect them. Now, we're talking about $85 billion, and, you know, half of that is toward the military and the other half toward discretionary spending. So this is actually not going to affect the paychecks of our military. So people were worried that our military guys aren't going to get paid. They will. That happens by law. They will get paid. The cuts are evenly split between domestic and defense programs, with half affecting defense discretionary spending. That's weapons purchases, base operations, and construction work. The rest affects mandatory, which generally means regular payouts like Social Security or Medicaid, and discretionary domestic spending. Only a few mandatory programs, like the Unemployment Trust Fund, and most notably Medicare, really the provider payments, are affected. The bulk of cuts are borne by discretionary spending for either the defense or domestic functions. So is there any exemptions to this? People that say you're taking food stamps away and taking money out of the poor people. Food stamps are exempt from this sequester. Low-income programs like TANF, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, or other people on welfare, those are exempt from this. So we're not taking money out of poor people's mouths. That's just a total lie and part of the scare tactics that the Democrats are using. This whole push by Obama and the Dems is to get more money. This man is playing that bully role, that manipulative role, it's what he does best. He and the Democrats are trying to blame the Republicans, but you know, this is their baby. They've had control of the economy now for 4 years. And for the first 2 years of the Obama administration's they had a democratically controlled Senate and House. So they could have done anything they wanted budget-wise. They could have raised taxes. They could have balanced the budget by jacking taxes right through the roof. But they didn't. So you got to ask your question, what game is it that Barack Obama and his cronies are playing? I mean, they have to get reelected. And part of the problem is there are a lot of Senate seats that have to go through election in 2014. And so those Democrat-controlled seats, which some of them are in red states or Republican states, they have to worry about what they vote on this next couple of years. That includes gun control, and that includes this sequestration process. The sequester includes $42.7 billion in defense cuts. Now, that's a 7.9% cut to the military department's budget. It also includes $28.7 billion in domestic discretionary cuts. That's only a 5.3% cut. There is going to be $9.9 billion in Medicare cuts, which is a 2% cut. Now, those cuts are not huge by any stretch of the imagination. You could probably find those if you went in and got rid of the fraud and the waste and still make those cuts. But cutting fraud and waste is not something Washington is very good at. And another reason why the increase in Obamacare is not going to be helpful to anybody. You can say it's going to save. The Affordable Care Act is not affordable by any stretch of the imagination. I know my insurance payments have already increased in the last year through my work. And most people that I have talked to have had the same experience. So don't let anybody fool you about affordable care and the Obamacare fiasco that's coming down the pipe. There are $4 billion in other mandatory cuts, a 5.8% cut to non-defense programs, and a 7.8% cut to mandatory defense program. That makes for a total of $85.4 billion in cuts. For this year, 2013. Now, it's going to go up in years preceding, but there's no way they're not going to tackle this at some point this year. Either the Republicans will cave and give Obama some additional revenue increases, or Obama will have to break ranks and go ahead and take the bluff of the Republicans. It'll be interesting to see. But as our caller Joe last half hour said, maybe it's time that we look at the sequestration is a good thing. Because how else are we going to hold the feet to the fire of our public officials? How else can we get any cuts at all? We can't. We've tried everything. This is forcing an $85 billion cut that should have happened a long time ago, that should have happened from programs that we don't need. We don't need to be giving money to oil companies. We don't need to be giving subsidies to solar factories We don't need to be giving money to people to buy phones for them. People existed in this country for 200 years without phones. And now we find that we have to give billions of dollars. I think it was $2.2 billion. It's on the website this week. Now, you can see all these speeches and audio clips that I put on the website. Just go to www.thedailydrift.com. And I highlight anything in red that we're talking about on the weekends. But you need to stay informed. And so go to that website. And it's got links to all the best websites, the Drudge Report, Washington Post. All the links you need are there to stay informed. So what's some of the notable programs that are going to get cut? Well, an aircraft purchase by the Air Force and Navy are going to get cut by $3.5 billion. Now, that's not a whole lot. That F-35, I think, is about $1 billion a plane. So looks like the Air Force and Navy may lose 3.5 planes, new planes, if they don't get the sequestration squared away. Military research will get cut by about $6.3 billion. But it makes you wonder, how much research are we actually doing? We're actually talking about getting rid of our nuclear stockpile. So what is it that they're doing in military research right now? The National Institutes of Health will get cut by $1.6 billion. Now, that kind of worries me a little bit, but other than our flu shots every year, what is it that they are doing for us? Border security will be cut by $581 million. Now, that, I think, would be a travesty. Not that they're doing anything right now anyways. The border is wide open in Texas. People are just walking across the border onto farmlands, and ranchers are living in fear of their own lives and their families' lives. So that's a little bothersome. Airport security is cut by $323 million. Now, Derek, that's the one that you were worried about. I'm going to be traveling this week, so I will tell you how long my wait is going to be at the airport, coming and going over this next week. And I'm a little worried about it, but time will tell. FEMA's disaster relief budget is going to be cut by $375 million. Now, I think we just gave them $20 billion for the Sandra relief package. We're giving and taking away in the same breath, I guess. Public housing support is going to be cut by $1.94 billion. Now, let me tell you something. I used to work in public housing. And that money needs to be cut. You want to talk about a waste. You spend all kinds of money putting people into public housing. You don't take care of them. They don't learn. It's just a giveaway. These people have big screen televisions in their apartments. They're driving cars far better than I am. There is a lot of waste and abuse in public housing. When I worked in public housing, our big boss at that time was Andrew Cuomo. And I can assure you he was as ignorant of what he was doing then as he is now as governor. Anyone that thinks he can make a decent run for president in 2016 has got rocks in their head. The FDA is going to be cut by $206 million. And NASA is going to get cut by $970 million. I thought we pretty much gave up on NASA. I'm surprised they have that much in their budget to even lose. Now, here's the part that Obama's been talking about. Special education will be cut by $840 million. Now, remember, these are all cuts, and they may seem like serious cuts, but these are the cuts that Obama promoted. He's the one that's behind these. Now, he wants to turn around and put the tables on the Republicans, but these cuts that I'm talking about, Energy Department, Program for Securing Our Nukes, is cut by $650 million. Did he do it on purpose? Is there a reason he picked all these departments to cut for these amounts? The FBI is going to get cut by $480 million. National Science Foundation gets cut by $388 million. I don't see in this list anywhere the Obama phone program being cut by $2.2 billion. State Department diplomatic functions will be cut by $650 million. I guess that means we'll see a few more Benghazis coming around. We're going to continue on this list after the break. Love to have your phone call, 734-822-1600. See you on the other side.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
You'll want to attend the 35th Annual Lenten Fish Fry at Old St. Patrick's Parish Hall, 5671 Whitmore Lake Road in Ann Arbor. It'll be from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. every Friday from February 15th through March 22nd. To learn more, visit stpatrickA2.org or call 734-662-8141. Longevity Foundation, the nation's largest lung cancer-focused organization, announces the launch of its Survivor Resource Center to fill a growing need in the lung cancer community. The Survivor Resource Center is a hub for survivors at any stage of their lung cancer journey, looking for support, information about the disease, treatment options, and other resources that can help make coping and living with lung cancer easier. To learn more, visit longevity.org. The Leslie Science and Nature Center is a nonprofit organization that provides environmental education, experiences, and events for children, families, and individuals of all ages. The Leslie Science and Nature Center is located at 1831 Traver Road in Ann Arbor. To learn more about events and classes, call 734-715-53 or visit lesliesnc.org. Check out the wide variety of educational fun events put on by the Ann Arbor District Library for kids preschool through 12th grade. All library facilities can be reached by phone through the main switchboard at 734-327-4200, or you can visit www.aadl.org. Check it out.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAA. 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Don't miss Theron's Saturday Night Rock and Rhythm Review. Your fingers will be popping. It all kicks off at 4 p.m. with a special Saturday Night edition of the Bone Conduction Music Show.
I came to rock, baby. I don't know about you.
Then, from 6 to 8, it's Eddie's Caravan with Fast Eddie.
Sharing with you. Music I love.
At 8 o'clock, we explore America's roots with Radio John D's Greasy Skillet.
Sit back and relax while we hit those wagon ruts.
Then, Johnny Danger invites you to go cruising with the best oldies from 10 to midnight.
We've got the mix going tonight on the Cruising Show.
Dan Martin takes you across the pond for the best of the UK on London Calling at midnight.
The Stones and their 1963 rendition of the Lennon-McCartney track, I Wanna Be Your Man.
Followed by Del Villarreal's Rockabilly Fest, Go Cat Go, from 2 to 4.
Your friend of mine, Mr. Rockin' Lloyd Tripp and his band, the Zip Guns. I am DJ Del Villarreal.
It all starts Saturday afternoon at 4 on the musical side of Wham! You're Catching the Drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift this Saturday afternoon. We're talking about sequestration and the millions of dollars that are being cut from different budgets. And as we've gone through this list, there's one thing that has been noticeably absent from getting cut, and that's foreign aid. We're still giving $1 billion to Egypt and giving them millions of dollars in tanks and fighter planes. And nobody the crazy nonsense that President Morsi has been speaking and saying and allowing to happen is in his country. We're still giving $1 billion to Pakistan. That's money that we could probably spend somewhere else. I don't know that we need to be spending it there. Now, John Boehner did an editorial this week in the Wall Street Journal, and it was his response to all this blame game that Obama's been spouting around the country. Let's run with track six, Derek, if you've got it ready.
He says, no one should be talking about raising taxes, basically, while government is paying people to play video games and giving people free cell phones. Steve, that's not just a throwaway line. Those things are actually happening. Is there room, though, to cut enough of those extraneous programs to really make a dent in our budget deficit?
You know, I've come to the view that the Republicans should be, rather than talking about replacing the sequester, I think their rhetoric should be sequester plus. In other words, I think we should do the sequester, absolutely, and then if we can get other program savings, which there are plenty of, and if we can make reforms to entitlements, we need to do that. I mean, let's face it, we've got a $1.1 trillion deficit. We've got to do all of the above in terms of bringing this spending down. By the way, it's really interesting, isn't it, Mary, that here we have an $85 billion cut that's supposed to happen this year. President Obama, in his State of the Union speech, endorsed about $83 billion of new spending in that speech alone. I just think Republicans don't believe, and I don't believe this president is at all serious about wanting to cut anything in government.
All right, so there you go. I mean, that State of the Union travesty that Obama spewed out to the nation, right there, $83 billion more in spending he was asking for. So he could go ahead and let sequestration come and then plop another $83 billion right back into it. We haven't saved but $2 billion if that happens. So, you know, Steve Moore, he's the opinion editor for the Wall Street Journal, great guy. He's right up there with Charles Krauthammer. He's a pretty regular guy. You'll see him on Fox. Very intelligent. And he's saying, again, the same thing that I've been beginning to feel, that a caller called earlier and felt. Maybe it is time to let this happen, because if $85 billion gets cut and people don't really feel it, maybe they'll understand that, well, hey, that was just a drop in the bucket. Maybe that's money we don't have to be spending. Where else can we do it? Maybe we should do the sequestration a couple times a year and see what happens. Because I can tell you one thing. It will not affect me personally, because I do have a job and I do work. Will it make our cost of living go up a little bit? Maybe. Let's hear what Congressman Tim Walberg has to say about sequestration. Congressman Tim, welcome aboard.
Well, glad to be with you. Sorry it took so long to get onto your show, but boy, I like this 2 o'clock hour time period for you.
Yeah, well, I do too. I can thank Linda for giving me this time. What a benefit it is to me. So I'm glad it's easier for you too. Maybe we can get you on a little more often.
We'll look forward to that.
Great, great. So I want to thank you, because you voted no on Boehner's debt ceiling gig that we had back here in January, right?
A while back, the most recent one, we voted in favor at the Heritage Foundation and RSC Republican Study Committee, which is arguably the conservative wing of the Republican Party, really put that together as a motivator to get our caucus, our conference, back in charge of the time frame of how we dealt with the budget, sequestration, and the debt ceiling issue. And so that's what we're doing right now. This allowed us to do a couple things. One, it allowed us to say to the president, you're not going to Mickey Mouse around with us anymore and get all of these cliffs lined up and then force a decision that we don't want to do and we shouldn't do, as we've done in the past. You can't use the fiscal cliff issue as a leverage for us. We'll get that off the table for 3 months, only paying for, according to the 14th Amendment, where it says that all debts and obligations of the United States shall be held without question, we'll pay it. So, okay, we'll pay it for anything accrued before May 12th. Well, we're not adding anything now, so it will be what's presently there. But we also said, we're going to add an amendment to it that says no budget, no pay. And that's what really started it. They all said, Harry Reid and Chuck Schumer and others said, that's going to be dead on arrival. Don't even think about doing that. Well, we did it. We had Democrat support to do it as well in the House, sent it over to the Senate. And what did they do? They ultimately passed it. The president signed it. So now the leverage is there for the Senate to finally come clean and show us their plans for what a budget is. We'll send ours over, Gary, probably within the first 3 weeks of March. It will take care of sequestration. It will be an alternative to it. It will have no tax increases in it. It will be a budget that puts us on the path to balance in 10 years if we don't even look at it scored dynamically, but scored as it is right now dynamically. If growth of the economy, it could even be quicker than that. But that has taken that issue off the table. Sequestration, we don't have to negotiate. It will happen. If the president doesn't come to us and say, okay, I give up, I'm not going to ask for tax increases, but I will offer some alternative cuts, we can look at that. But if he doesn't, sequestration will happen, and I believe it will, on March 1st. Then the only thing left is the budget. And now that we've forced the Senate to respond to what we'll send to them, and, of course, they'll change it, they'll send it back to us. At the very least, now that people know that it's Democrats, the liberal Democrats want to increase taxes, want to destroy the economy, want to put burdens on people that provide jobs and opportunity, and ultimately end up hurting the middle class, as they've done now for four solid years with the policies that have not worked that this president has put forward and then lied about. And then we can go on and talk about what will work on the other side of the ledger that says, let's cut spending. It's a spending problem, Washington, not a revenue problem.
Yeah, I was amazed, Tim, when I heard Nancy Pelosi and a few other Democrats say we don't have a spending problem. Are they on drugs in Washington? What would make them say that when we're spending $1.2 trillion more than we bring in?
Well, I don't know if they're on drugs. They sure don't believe in the same country that you and I believe in and have invested our lives in. You as an entrepreneur in many ways, myself in some ways an entrepreneur, but one who says, let's limit government and let people expand. We don't want less in the area of millionaires. We want more millionaires, more people with that opportunity of choice. We want more people that take risks, develop jobs, become successful, and then need people to work to manufacture those things and to expand our economy with people having more opportunity, not government. They, I think, on the other side, for some reason, believe that socialism hasn't worked because they haven't tried it. They will fail. Our country is failing right now, and it's time for us to fight back. And frankly, none of us can expect 100%, but I certainly can fight for 60 or 65% with this liberal leadership that we have right now. And hopefully the American people will awaken to the fact that what has been told them is a lie. This is the most lawless administration in the history of the United States, and they are taking our country away from what has made us the most successful country in the history of the world, not just our time period, the history of the world, with great opportunity.
Yeah, great. Well, Tim, thank you so much for calling in. We'll have to get you on a little more often, and I appreciate all that you do. Keep the fight in Washington, and thanks for protecting us.
Well, thanks for giving us voice.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. All right, there it is. We'll wrap this one up and see you next week. Now, we'll have a guest host in here next Sunday, so I will call in. Until next week, have a good one.